You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come to bring us a life that is good. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So there's this psychologist named Dan McAdams. Dan McAdams is famous in his circles for this thing that's called narrative identity theory. And what narrative identity theory does is it says that something happens in your life, you don't just sort of take that thing by itself, but you include that thing, whatever it might be, into the story of your life. You take whatever it is and you go, oh, well, now this is a part of my story. So somebody smiles at you at Publix and you go, that's now a part of my story. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, also now a part of your story. The Seminoles win a football game, part of your story. There's all sorts of things that become a part of our story. And depending on how you code what that thing is, you kind of change what your story is all about. So Dan McAdams' theory kind of says that there's kind of two different ways that we include things in our stories. One of those things is in terms of a redemption arc. That there are things that we include in our stories that they make our lives out to be good things. But there are also times where we include things into our stories that embitter us. And that's the other side of things. And we can take a look at almost anything that happens in our lives, whether it looks to be good or bad on the outset, and we can say, oh, okay, well, this is a part of my redemption arc. Even if it's something bad, you can say, oh, well, this is a challenge for me, and so I'm going to rise above this challenge. That would be an example of including something as your redemption arc. But if you are including it and saying, this is something that proves to me that my life is horrible, well, then you're just doing that in terms of embittering your life. And there's all sorts of different reasons that we code the different stories in our lives for all sorts of different reasons. But that's this theory at its base. That we're constantly sort of writing our story as things happen in our lives. And Dan McAdams would go even further to say that, well, we're sort of in a place where we tend to kind of use either the redemption arc or the embitterment arc as our primary narrative. And so sometimes we run across a season of our lives where nothing good is happening and everything is bad, and our lives feel like they're embittered because that's the story that we're writing for ourselves. There's other times when things are tough, but we believe that things are tough for a reason, and now we're in that redemption arc. Well, when you look at what Paul is writing to his friends, the Jews who are living in Rome in chapter 8 here. He's writing about a sort of redemption arc. That he starts this off saying that all things work for good for those who God loves and are called according to his purpose. And there's a redemptory value there. That Paul is saying, hey, look, this is all going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. In fact, we really love that verse. So much so that that's one of those verses that you can get, you know, printed on a coffee cup or emblazoned on a pillow someplace or, put into art on your wall. There's kind of this sense that's my verse. I remember one of the first kids that I led through the confirmation process. That was his confirmation verse. And we had to have a conversation about that being his confirmation verse because I said, that's fine. That can be your confirmation verse. Just continue to read the rest of Romans 8. Because if you go not too much farther into Romans 8, you find out that Paul is telling these Roman Jewish Christians that a part of understanding what it is that God is working all of this stuff out for good is that Jesus hasn't left them and that they need to have faith in that. That neither tribulations or powers or any of the horrible things that are happening to them are going to separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so when we look at this, we kind of get into this moment of a little bit of tension in our lives. Because we understand, I think if you're in this room, probably, you understand that God has a great plan for your life. You're like, I trust God. I know that God has a plan for my life. That's why you're showing up here. Because you believe that God has the best in mind for you. But then you go out into your week and you experience tribulations. And there's a moment where our faith is tested there. Because we can believe that God has our best in mind. But some days, the stories that play seem to be at odds with that idea. Some days, we can get up and it's not a good day. Some days we can go to bed and we can say, this was tough. Some days we recognize that our sins have hurt ourselves and that they have hurt others. Some days we get up in the morning and we realize that the sins of others have hurt us. Some days we experience frustration. Some days we're in that spot where we go, this could embitter my life. My narrative, given these stories, could become pretty embittered. And you realize that looking at things honestly, that would be fair. I mean, you think about who's writing this book to the Romans. We're talking about a guy who routinely would walk into a city, start talking to people, and because he started talking to people, would be dragged out of that city and stoned. If anybody has a narrative that is worthy of being embittered, it's probably the Apostle Paul. But Paul holds on to faith. Even in the midst of difficult times, Paul probably knew, and certainly Paul's audience, being a bunch of people that lived in Rome, probably knew there was this this sort of policy in the Roman army. This policy that was around this idea that was called triumph. That what the Roman army did was that the Roman army rarely, if ever, would ever celebrate a general or a soldier for simply winning a battle. But rather, they would celebrate only when that general or that soldier won a war. And the reason they did that was that they wanted to bring about this sense of perspective. This sense of perspective in the narrative that was being written when they went out to war. The narrative being that you can lose a few battles and still win the war. That if you go out there and you fight a battle and you lose and you go back and you start licking your wounds, it's much easier for you to say, well, I've still got the war, than if you're constantly waiting for an attaboy for winning a battle. And that seems to be a little bit of what Paul is showing us in the gospel. That what Paul is showing us is that we are living into a narrative, but not a narrative that we are writing ourselves. That's where Paul differentiates what faith is from what Dan McAdams is writing. For Dan McAdams, we write our stories. We say our lives are redeemed or our lives are embittered, but rather what Paul says is that your story has already been written. You're just living into it. And that if you are someone who loves God and is called according to his purpose, that your story already has a redemptory arc. That your story is a story of redemption because Jesus Christ has died on the cross and has redeemed you from sin, from death, and from the devil. And so you can walk into this world and you can experience all sorts of different tribulations and you can still say, yeah, I'm going through this thing. And it's hard. But I know that God is using this so that at the end of my life, I'll look back and I'll say, look at what he did to redeem me. Look at how he made my life to turn out. Maybe it wasn't what I had in mind. Maybe it wasn't what I had planned. Maybe it wasn't the easiest thing in the world, but it was good. In one of the Narnia novels, A Horse and His Boy, there's this character named Shasta. And Shasta has this really tough existence in the book and finally gets to see Aslan, who is basically Jesus, but who is a lion in the story. And Shasta gets to Aslan and starts to question Aslan about, well, why weren't you there? Why did I have to go through all of these things? And he looks back and he starts asking questions about all of these times when lions were chasing him. And Aslan says, I was that lion. And what I was doing was I was chasing you this way so that you wouldn't go this way because it would end up hurting you. What I was doing was that I was getting you to go in this direction rather than that direction. And yeah, it was tough, but it was better. Sometimes it feels like our lives are going in the wrong direction because they're going in a direction that is hard. But just because it's hard doesn't mean that it's not redemptory. In fact, a lot of times when it is hard, we can look at that moment and we can say, huh, this is really tough. I wonder what God is up to. And we know what he's up to. What he's up to is making us more like him. What he's up to is helping us to see that we have a need for him. What he's up to is making us see that our neighbors have needs that we can fill. What he's up to is making us into the very image of Christ. Not by our hard work, necessarily, but through his constant guidance in our lives, through the valley of the shadow of death, and into a resurrection where we can ask him all sorts of questions, just like Shasta did. Hey, God, what about this time? What about that thing that I was going through when I was 20? What about that thing that I was going through when I was 40? What about this thing that I was going through at this time? And we might hear God say, oh, yeah, here's what I was doing there. And he does that because he loves us. And even more than that, every time we make a wrong turn, every time we don't let his love have its way with us, he forgives us of our sins, sets us on the right path. He doesn't hold those things against us. He doesn't have all of our wrong turns ending up in the wrong space, but all of our wrong turns through his forgiveness and love end up in exactly the place that he wants us. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have a story. And it's going to be a great story. You have a story that is going to be filled with opportunities for courage. You have a story that's going to be filled with beauty. You have a story that is going to be filled with nobility. You have a story that is going to be filled with goodness. You have a story that God is writing for you every time you encounter him. And yeah, it can be tough. But when it gets tough, walk out into this world and remind yourself, God has already written my story for me. Let me walk into that. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.